I'm tired of unsolicited criticism from men.
And there you have it, folks. Welcome. Hi.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I'm Jewel Karenin.
Oh, not again.
You don't
not
like that?
Again. We just did it. We just
did
this.
Oh, we did.
This.
Yeah, you're right. You're
I'm
right.
Jewel. I'm actually Jewel Karenin.
And I'm actually Charlie James.
And we are actually your hosts.
And this podcast is a love letter to the nightmarishly powerful phenomenon of parasocial relationships.
Wherein, this is the conceit of the podcast.
Wherein?
We investigate our own parasocial relationships and we interview people who we all have parasocial relationships with.
Get it through your thick skulls.
Get it through your skulls.
We investigate our own parasocial relationships. That is what you just said. Look.
Well, actually, this script isn't accurate, so we're going to have to do a little bit of improv. Because today we are doing a host-only episode.
It's just us.
It's just the two of us, because we have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot. There's a lot to get into.
Absolute buckets of content to discuss. Yeah, so we want to discuss our favorite parasocial phenomenons, and we're going to talk about the Disney College program.
I can't wait. We're also talking about celebrity sightings.
And we're going to talk about how I get my steps.
I can't wait.
Secrets.
I can't wait to find out. You don't have an Apple Watch, so I'm fascinated.
I have a bracelet.
That's no. But you see those Aura rings that people have, and
I know.
That's a step tracker.
And people are always like, gotta close my loop.
I don't get sorry, I should just go online. I love to pose questions that are answerable.
It is, you do love to do that, but that's super human of you.
Thank you so
that's
much.
That's so pre-Google, pre-internet of you.
Yeah. I'm a 90s that. Kid. What can I say?
What can I say?
I was there for 3 years. I don't remember any of it. Hey, Jewel?
Yes.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
Thank you.
Hey.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. Jewel?
Yes?
What's your parasocial anecdote for today?
Oh, okay. This one is crazy. This one's crazy.
I'm locked in.
This is like some deep-rooted parasocial interaction for me. I somehow started watching this Disney College program YouTuber a few years ago.
Mm.
Her name is Bronwyn. Her username is Once Upon a Bron.
Okay.
Do you have anything to say about that?
Just that I know someone else named Bronwyn.
That's a really cool name.
I think it's gorgeous.
It makes me feel like you're in Little Women.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Incredible. Incredible use of letters.
How old is Bronwyn? Well, college program. College age.
A little.
Context clues.
A little younger than me. Was in the college program in probably like 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17 world. Something
perfect.
Like that. So, when you're in the Disney College program, do you know what this is?
Only vaguely. I think I have a friend who did it.
Okay, so you can do it in California or Florida, but like we're talking about Florida.
Oh,
we're,
okay.
We're talking about Florida.
Well, then no, I have no idea.
So, so what happens in the Disney College program, this is just my understanding, and I'm an expert, but don't quote me on it. You apply to what is essentially like an internship, which is basically just you applying to work at the Disney resort somewhere in the parks or in an office.
For college credit or for money?
For money.
Okay.
But then you have to go there and pay for housing from Disney, and then they pay you their shitty wages to work in their parks.
And it has to be Disney housing?
Pretty much, because there's nowhere else to live.
In yeah,
Orlando.
In Anaheim. Oh.
We're in Florida.
You're so right. Sorry to clink.
It's okay. Sorry to everyone if you heard us clink our microphones. That was scary.
We might have to take it out. Who's to say? I got too excited.
So remember, we're in Florida.
Right, and we are in Florida. It doesn't really exist to me. Not Florida. Florida very much on my mind lately.
Yes.
But specifically the Disney parks. I've never been to the Florida ones. And I hear they're better, and people love to tell me that. But I just, you know, my grandma lived in Anaheim. So what were we going to do?
No. No. Yeah. We, as Southern California San Diego kids,
yeah.
Like, the Florida resorts, they simply don't exist.
But have you been?
I have.
And they don't exist.
It
That's
was.
The
it
thing.
Doesn't exist.
You've been, but it's not real.
I did. Wasn't there.
No.
I don't. Really
I've been, but I wasn't
recall.
There. Hello.
So basically, what this program is just Disney staffing their parks. it's shipping
with like young
in,
people who are willing to take low wages.
Yeah.
Awesome.
People who are really, really passionate about Disney and like genuinely like it is a big deal to them that they were approved for the program and they got in.
The only thing I know about this is that the process to get in is extensive and you really have to like write a cover letter where you kind of talk about what the Disney Corporation means to you, which it means a lot to a lot of people. But that part sounds insane because I just can't imagine being like, I can't wait to make minimum wage at your establishment. Like it just,
I know
a cover letter for a minimum wage job should be illegal.
But Disney is so good at PR. They're maybe the best.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, and one of the things about this program is that a lot of people like to make YouTube and vlog content about that, or they did back when that was a little bit more of like, you know, a thing. Mm-hmm. And because you get free access to all the parks because you work there and you also have nothing else to do because you're in Orlando, which is like completely owned by
Disney.
And was created by Disney. Like, anyways, so she makes these vlogs where she's like hanging out with all of her friends in the parks, all of her friends who are in the Disney College program with her. They're her roommates, blah, 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 blah. So what happens to me is that I form a parasocial relationship with her and I form a parasocial relationship with all of her friends because they're the little side characters. That's very fun. This is years ago, years and years and years and years and years ago. This is pre-COVID. This is old, old news. Lots of things happened with her. She's since scaled down her YouTubing, blah, blah, blah. I'm not here to talk about her. I'm here to talk about her friends who are not famous Disney influencers. But I still follow all of them on Instagram.
Do they still work for Disney?
No, they're all adults. They all had to, you know, they all graduated college, went to their respective towns.
And they all do something completely separate.
They all do something completely separate, which I only know because I follow all of them. I don't even follow Bronwyn on Instagram anymore.
Wow.
I follow all of her friends who, again, are not public figures.
What are they up to?
Well, in some ways, I'm like, it's unethical for me to talk about it. But in other ways, I'm like, somebody needs to know this is happening to me. Somebody needs to know. But what just happened is one of them got married. So, of course, I'm stalking. So once I see somebody post content with the other friends, because they all live in different places, I'm like, oh, shit, got to go check everybody's story.
And were they all at the wedding?
They were all at the wedding.
Great. Lifelong friendships
except
at Disney.
Except for Bronwyn. They're not friends with her anymore.
Wow. And have they said anything?
There was a huge falling out.
Oh, no.
There's a huge falling out. But again, these are not famous people. These are
sure.
Not famous
these are just people.
People
who are famous to you.
These are just
they're famous
my
in your
celebrities.
Mind. Yeah,
but I know they're not famous. So when I'm looking at these wedding photos, I'm super excited because literally we just got the pro photos in. I'm like, yes, I get to see the pro photos. But I can't like any of these pictures. I can't like any of the stories because I don't want them to be like, who the fuck is this random stranger in California who happens to follow me
all
and all
us.
My friends who were. You know, like they would know.
No, but I don't. I think their conclusion would be, I bet Jewel knows one of us. Don't you think?
I think
if
they
I get a weird like and I go and I click on their page and I see they follow somebody else that I know, I'm like, I guess that's that person's friend.
That's true. But I think
you don't want to blow your cover.
I cannot let one of them block me. They can't listen to this show. Like, they can't know I exist.
You're right. You're
I'm
right.
Super scared because I love having a little parasocial relationship with them.
You need a burner account.
You're right. Why don't I follow them for my burner account?
Oh, you have a burner account.
I do.
News to me.
But it's too burnery. Mm. It's like too obviously a burner account.
Yeah.
News
easily
to you.
Blocked.
Are you offended?
No. No, I think secrets are okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
You thought about that though.
I had to. I had to give it a sec.
So that's my Disney YouTuber update. There's actually like chapters and chapters of Laura. I could tell you guys about her. But what I really just wanted to say is that I'm so excited that her friend got married and that her other friends, who she all had a falling out with, were at the wedding. And they all look so pretty in their little bridesmaids' outfits. And
oh, they were like in the party.
They were in the party.
That's huge. That's huge.
And they're singing Chapel Roan. And I'm a stalker. I'm a stalker. I'm a stalker. I love them. I support them.
We all have someone who's a celebrity only to us. You
that's
know?
True.
But I love that they're a friend. It's a whole group to you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I want to see more details now, but again, it's unethical. I'm going to refrain.
Ooh! Tell me after.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, what's going on with you parasocially?
Early in our reconnecting, you may remember that you gave me a piece of advice, a piece of Los Angeles advice, because I was fairly new.
Yes.
You said, we were talking about celebrities we'd seen in public, mm-hmm. and you said you should keep a note on your phone of all the celebrities you've seen and where you've seen them.
Good idea.
So I'd like to present the note to you now.
Let's go.
And we can kind of just pick and choose which of these are interesting enough to talk about. Okay. I saw Kristen Stewart at the Silver Lake Reservoir with her ex-fiancé.
11 out of 10.
But
top
at the
tier.
Time, fiancé.
Absolutely.
Which is like, you know, what a rare sighting.
Incredible sighting.
I saw, and there's a theme here, I saw Elle Fanning at the Silver Lake Reservoir walking around with a big team of people, which was kind of interesting. I think
fun.
They were taking a walking meeting.
Doing business, absolutely.
Which was so sexy. Okay.
Elle is always doing business.
Well, you can tell. Also, she in real life and on screen, I'll say it, enchantingly beautiful.
Wow, her bold face, of you to say.
Her face is porcelain, something else. It's really gorgeous. Tobey Maguire I saw in Silver Lake, and this is interesting. I think I've told you this before. I hope I haven't
is
said this
the on
the podcast.
Is this the punching story?
Yeah.
Yeah,
have
you
I said
told
this on
story.
The podcast?
If anybody wants to hear this story, it's in probably like episode 4 or
Fuck.
Something.
Okay. I saw Elijah Wood at Home State. I have since...
Wait, I saw someone at Home State.
Who?
The nerd from Criminal Minds. Matthew Greg Goobler.
Oh, that's the one that everyone likes.
Yeah.
He's a handsome man. Elijah Wood, apparently, a regular at Home State.
Probably Matthew, too. Do you mm-hmm. think they know each other?
Oh, they have to.
Two little nerdy guys.
They're the same level of, yeah, they could chat.
Two little nerdy brunettes.
I saw Lana Del Rey at the Clark Street Diner.
She's never been outside. That's crazy.
It was pretty crazy, and I was with someone who's Gen X who was not familiar with the work of Lana Del Rey, and it was really hard to explain. She's like a very normal-looking, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But it was really hard to explain, like, that person is so famous. And they were like, what? I was like, I know. She's wearing, like, the geniest shorts you've ever seen. And it's just a tank top, but she's incredibly famous. She's eating an omelet.
Wow.
I saw Amy Poehler at Mess Hall.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of these are at Mess Hall. I saw Matt Walsh at Mess Hall, not the Republican, but Matt Walsh of Veep and general comedy fame.
Right. Okay.
I was with someone who knew him, so I got to meet him and he was lovely.
Well, does that count as a celebrity sighting?
I don't
sighting,
think so.
No.
Okay, well then we
strike
can absolutely we can take Ben Feldman off there as well because what a sweetheart. That was the most enchanting man I've ever met in my life.
Aww.
I was like enchanting. No other word. I saw Chris Pine at Loch Alum. He was wearing really some of the worst Crocs anyone's ever donned.
He was in his ugly era. He's been in an ugly era for about 5 years.
No,
intentionally. Like, he's wearing ugly outfits.
Oh, his clothes. Yeah,
yeah. He has like a ginormous beard and like really long hair.
The beard was really doing it for me.
Okay,
like he looked disheveled in a way that was like kind of it was giving something for me personally. He was standing behind me, so I was pretty aware.
That's huge for me.
Do you remember Jennifer Stone, the friend on Wizards of Waverly Place, who would wear the crazy outfits?
I'm older than you, so no.
Not enough to not... Okay, fine.
I wasn't watching Wizards of Waverly Place. Absolutely not. Right. Selena Gomez is a singer to me, not a wizard.
Wow. She's a wizard to me first and
nope.
foremost.
Never seen that show.
She has a quirky friend in the show who wears like truly insane peak Disney outfits.
Awesome.
Where it's just like jeans under a floor-length gown. And you're like, why would you wear that? She's a nurse at an emergency room now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I came, to have an emergency, not mine, but somebody else's. And I walked up to the desk to check them in and I said, what? And so that was really alarming.
I love your work.
I love your work as a nurse. Congrats, by the way.
Keep on working. Keep up the good work.
Good job. I saw Aziz Ansari at Hollywood Boulders.
Classic boring.
Classic boring.
Yawn.
Okay,
I feel like I have to. Like, and I've been there like twice.
Hilarious.
Sorry.
I've never seen him since. So when people are like, he's there, I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to skip one of those. I saw Ben Affleck, and I think I have said this before, in a parking lot.
Oh, because I also saw Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but
mine was better.
Yours was so much better. Okay, but mine was that he was driving a car I'd never seen in my life. Like, I didn't know that car existed. And I think that's the most
interesting
part.
That's the real celeb.
Really, it's I saw a car I'd never seen before. In a PetSmart parking lot.
For sure.
I saw Bill Murray at the Silver Lake Reservoir.
Oh, we're loving to see it.
And I saw Quentin Tarantino at INS, which is a thrift store that sells like 80s, 90s toys. And he was there. He kept saying, I'm buying toys for my kid.
Just aloud.
But I feel like they were for him.
Just so everybody knows.
These are for my kid.
I have a kid.
And he's out there. He's present.
That's really strange. Yeah. Like Lana Del Rey, I think he should stay inside.
Well, he has his own coffee shop and apparently parks there all the time.
What's his coffee shop?
He owns a bunch of little cinemas, and one of them has a coffee shop called Pam's, and he's in there a lot.
What the hell?
Yeah. I get my haircut.
Put him back in the home.
Men belong. No. Quentin Tarantino's belong in the home.
They belong in the home.
When we let them out, they do all kinds of stuff. They make white people say the N-word. They buy toys.
They are buying toys for their
children. So, who's
whatever.
To say?
Liar.
But that's my list.
That was really good. You have some A-listers on there.
Yeah.
Huge A-listers.
Yeah. And I've got people you've never heard of. So that's, you know.
So true.
All in all, I think, yeah. God, I hope that Wizards of Waverly Place one is important to even one.
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
will be.
Our younger listeners.
Like, if someone saw Lizzie McGuire's best friend. If I saw Lizzie McGuire's best friend, that'd be huge to me.
It's very much that.
It's the same premise.
Completely.
If she was working at the emergency room, I'd be like, girl.
I also was kind of like, oh, it's so weird that in LA, like, essential workers are actually just actors who pivoted.
I know.
Yeah.
I actually can't. Like, when you said that, my brain was like, I can't talk about this.
Yeah, it was whack.
My brain was like, this is not safe for me to talk. Rain was like, put up a wall. Just a wall.
Let it go. Yeah. Yeah. People are everywhere, man.
I highly recommend that everyone do this wherever you live. It doesn't matter. If you see anyone famous, write it down in your notes app and write down where you saw them. It's easier, but like, you know, I saw Cherie Appleby, who was the star of some show.
And whatever. The owner of Applebee's.
No.
Yeah.
No. If anyone knows who Cherie Appleby is, just, it's okay. She's an actor. I saw her at the Seattle airport. So, you know, it can happen anywhere.
That's big.
It can happen anywhere.
Okay, but here, can we talk about what doesn't count?
Airports?
No. That counts. You can't write it down if you go to that person's show.
Correct.
You can't be like, I saw John Mulaney do John Mulaney's act. That doesn't count. You paid to see that person, or you knew you were seeing that person. This has to be like, I was just trying to get a coffee and Celine Dion would not stop poking the back of my neck. You know, it has to be random.
Yes.
So that's how you do a list. Celebrity setting list.
It's like one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
It's nice. It's nice to compare notes. People are seeing Elijah Wood.
Really?
Yeah. He's around.
I'll ask around as well.
He's shorter than every person in his family, his children included, and I think that that's really brave.
What a hero.
Yeah.
What a fucking hero.
Yeah.
And Elijah Wood.
And this is slightly on topic, but only barely. I'm not a... I don't even know what you were referencing.
I wasn't referencing
Oh, that was
anything.
The song that you were making up. Awesome.
I was just inspired.
You're so right. You know, and in a musical, they really only break into song when they're so overcome with emotion that they have to sing. And that's what happened to you. Yeah. I'm not a flour tortilla person. I'm only a corn tortilla person. Yeah, this is to the dismay of a lot of people. But the home state tortillas have won awards, the flour ones. And I gave it a shot, and I have to say, I loved it. I loved it more than I love the corn. I will only be getting the flour tortillas there from now on. A game changer for me.
What? The flour tortillas at Homestate are just slightly
no
different than any other no. normal flour
no,
tortilla.
The only here's the thing. The only flour tortilla I had had is like the ones that you get from the grocery store growing up. So
oh,
I was
that's
like,
that's not right.
Well, yeah, I was like, I can't be a part of that. I thought I didn't like any flour tortillas.
Charlie, a whole world is waiting for
it's
you.
It's opening up.
Every burrito that you get from any veritable Mexican food restaurant is wrapped in an incredible homemade flour tortilla.
And I usually don't like those ones though.
Well, but that's what the Homestate ones are.
No, the Homestate ones have won awards, Jewel. Tortilla awards. Do you know what I mean? When I go to Rick's at midnight, that is not an award-winning anything. That's barely a burrito.
I'm offended.
I'm sorry.
You're offending
me. I know, because it's two people from San Diego who are saying absolute.
And we're white people, too. That's the worst part of it.
I love tortilla culture. I just prefer the corn.
I can't.
Which, you know.
I'm mad at you, actually, though.
Completely fair.
And
Garrett's
Home
nodding.
State is
Pamphlet's
Tex-Mex.
Not even facing me.
Homestate is Tex-Mex.
I know. Homestate is not Mexican food.
You are a disgrace to my whole my podcast.
But it was a bridge. it was a bridge. I can imagine a person eating at Panda Express before they go to the real thing.
You're putting me in a mood.
I should have left it at Elijah Wood, but I had to speak up. If you live in Los Angeles, I think the Homestate flour tortillas are good, and I know you do too.
You are on my last.
There are flour truthers out there, and nerve. They will know what I'm saying.
You're on my last nerve. Oh my god!
Well, I think that means it's time for
singing. I'm singing a song, and then you upset me.
I've been so. Look, I'm a controversial figure.
Yeah. That's what
I'm
I get,
political,
I guess. That's what I get.
And I'm, and you know, I speak my mind.
You.
And I say what other people are thinking.
Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. To the parasocial relationship tracker segment.
Yes, I have someone to track.
Okay.
So
track them.
A few episodes ago, like early parasocial podcast, I mentioned one of my YouTubers that I like, whose name is Kiani Tamayo, and his YouTube is at Reps to the Rhythm. Go subscribe, like, favorite, turn on your alerts.
I'm familiar.
You are?
Because you in the past have told me.
Oh, yeah.
But I, yeah.
So he's now your friend, too.
But I don't know what it, tell me more about
so
the video.
He makes steps videos, which means that he says, hey, come get 3,200 steps with me. Gazoonte.
Thank you.
And then there's a little tracker in the top of the video that counts each step you're getting. Mm-hmm. And he's just doing steps. He's just stepping. And he does little kind of like dance moves and like side to side, but it's not really dancing. It's just stepping.
Okay, I have a lot of questions.
Go on.
What is the music that's going on?
Thank you for asking. Very important because it's like pop music, but it's clearly some sort of, you know, licensed for YouTube or free pop music.
Totally.
So that he can monetize his videos. And it's one of the most fun parts of watching these videos is this song good or is this song bad? Will I be able to rewatch this video based on how good these songs are? And
There ones that are unwatchable again because you're like, well, that song sucked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I can listen to it once. But like you can't listen to like a generic unlicensed or, you know, free
yes.
licensed pop song twice without wanting to like disappear.
On the flip side of that though, I came to your apartment recently and you were listening to the lo-fi beats, which is sort of the same premise, wouldn't you say?
That's true, but that was just for vibes. That wasn't
right.
for getting
exercise.
My steps.
That's different.
Yeah,
that's
if you're getting your steps, you want to be energized.
You want to know the songs.
You're not bored.
No.
You don't want to know that the next chorus is gonna kind of bore you again.
You never put your own music on.
Oh
step.
No. I trust Kiani.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
A follow-up question. Where is he stepping?
Uh-huh.
Where is he stepping? Where is he going?
He is stepping in his room.
In place?
In place. He's stepping in place in a room that is usually full of like 7 to 12 cats that are all jumping around. And sometimes he's stepping next to his mom also, who's
wait,
also stepping.
Wait. Okay. There's a lot. There's a lot here. 7 to 12... is
a lot.
No offense, too many.
There's a lot. of cats.
I've got one, and that's kind of a lot.
Yeah.
I could go for, I've been in a house with four. Ugh. Well, that was kind of the, I mean, you're allergic, but that was kind of the peak for me is to have four cats in my life. 7 to 12, too many. He's not, him not moving is blowing my mind. He's stepping in space. Are you stepping in space or are you walking in a circle?
No, I'm stepping in space. And remember, there's maybe a little dance move where we were doing a little side to side, a little
right,
front
little to cha-cha,
back,
a little
star step, a little kickball change. No, he's actually never doing a kickball change. He's not doing that. I might throw it in.
I think you might just want to take dance classes, which I know you have done.
But sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes
right, you
want
to be in your house.
I just want to get my steps.
You're so right.
Sometimes I don't want to learn a whole routine. Sometimes I don't want to follow along to a little cha-cha-cha. I just want to hang out with Kiani and get our steps.
How long has Kiani been doing this?
Years. This was why I wanted to talk about this today, is because I haven't watched any of his videos in years. And I think I discovered him during early COVID because I was like, wow, I got three steps in the past 4 months.
Yeah.
So I need to get some exercise.
I need to move around.
My monthly average is 12 steps. So, so that's,
but you wanted to be indoors.
Well, it was just like, I'm already walking around outside. I don't know. It was just an interesting new exercise idea.
Do you track your steps?
Yeah, I have my pedometer on my iPhone.
Oh, okay, it's that one, and it kind of tells you.
Yeah, so it just tells me even if I don't want it to know.
I hate when I accidentally open that app and I see that I've gotten like 2,000 steps a day or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not enough.
So that's when I first discovered him, and so I was doing him a lot. It was fun, and you know, I formed a little parasocial relationship with him because I was like, "Who is this guy? Who's his mom? Why are there so many cats? Where is he?" You know, all that stuff that you have to fill in.
All
the
questions that I had, you also had in the past.
Yeah, but then, this like a few weeks ago, I opened him back up again because I needed to get some steps.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm back out in the world now. I'm going to dance classes. I don't need my steps, YouTuber.
Oh.
But I reopened the video and I started doing it and I started exercising and I like literally teared up and almost cried because I was so happy to see him again.
Is he older?
Oh, he's just like me, yeah.
Like he looks older?
A little.
Oh.
A teeny bit.
That's so special.
And like the videos are a little different. Surely the cats are different, though I don't know how that works.
No, they live a long time. 20 years. 20 years.
Surely they've totally regenerated by now. All of their skin cells have changed. So
what is his, do you think this is his full-time job or do you think the cats are sort of a business?
Well, he made a YouTube for the cats too, which obviously I'm not looking at.
Yeah.
So I don't actually know what happens there.
Your cat, is it neutral or negative?
I'm actually cat neutral. Thanks for asking.
That's so huge. I remember there was a time early in our friendship where you were like, I think I'm animal neutral to negative. And I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I actually am not ready for the world to know about that.
And I'm so sorry.
It's okay because it's true. So I can't sue you.
But you view it as a...
I know people don't like that.
Right. No. Oh, I like that. It's not that you think it's a flaw.
I don't care.
It's that people will not like that.
Perceive me as an evil villain from hell. You're like, that person is a psychopath.
It's funny because like I could not be more animal forward and positive. And you're like, we'll see.
And that's our fun and funky dynamic. That's what that contributes to our fun and funky, spicy,
I love it.
Crispy dynamic.
We take all kinds, don't we? Wow.
So, anyways, it was just really good to see him again. And it was crazy to like just, I think it was also like I was going back to that time when, you know, in early COVID when it was very emotional and lots of things were so different.
Mm-hmm.
And now the world is so different again. But it was just good to see you, Kiani. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I keep it up. Keep up. Yeah. And I don't know that this is his full gig. Wait, no, you asked about the cats. You asked if the cat's his job.
Yeah, I asked if the cat's his job. Because
like, is he
breeding them? Is he selling them? Is this a hobby? Are they his mom's?
I don't know. I'll send him a DM. I was a Patreon subscriber of him briefly.
Wow. Yeah. This runs deep.
Yeah,
I love
it. To be
a Patreon subscriber, I've only ever done that for maybe two things.
I was very grateful. You subscribe to PJ Vote
mm-hmm.
and House MD Recap Podcast.
Someone should do that. Not us, but somebody. Because there's a lot there.
I know.
And rewatch podcasts are huge now, but typically I feel like the big ones now are with the actors who are in the show.
Yeah.
The Veep rewatch podcast, which I believe just ended. Shout out Matt Walsh again.
Shouts out.
And Timothy Simons. What if it's Simmons? No way to know. I loved that podcast. And I personally have rewatched Veep too many times.
You're so. Like kind of a Veep influencer.
I'm a Veep head.
Yeah.
For sure.
They should definitely be inviting you to like the fan activations.
Veep changed my life. And I put off watching it for a long time because I would watch the Golden Globes and they would win a bunch of stuff. Ugh. And I kind of love an underdog.
We don't trust the Golden Globes.
Well, yeah. It's just an award. Who, you know, who's to say?
Right.
But unless they were right about that.
Unless you're a tortilla.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I like the underdogs because corn tortillas are the definitive tortilla underdog. Wouldn't you say? People... I'm losing the audience so quickly. It's like...
The audience is like me.
Ugh. The audience of you and Garrett, and honestly, Pamphlet is kind of over it too.
What are you? Where do you even belong? We're in my apartment.
We're in my home. Ugh. Where corn tortillas are the norm.
I'm sick and tired of being mad at you.
Yeah.
Let's put this to
bed. I completely understand. Hey. You have your, I have my animals, you have your flour tortillas.
You're right.
And at the end of the day.
I love flour tortillas. I guess that's not what has been stated outright. I love flour tortillas. Gift from God.
And I love every creature that walks on this earth.
And I can't relate. Welcome to the Parasocial Scholar Corner.
Here we go.
Welcome to the Parasocial Scholar Corner.
This is a serious business for academics.
We do academic discourse about a parasocial phenomenon. We unpack some facet of the beast.
Mm.
The beautiful beast. Parasocial relationships.
Shall we get into it?
Okay, really quick. I went to advertising school. Did you know that?
Kind of.
I did a journalism major.
You've been to several schools.
I have, thank you. I'm an academic. Academics love to go to school. But I never did grad school.
You didn't love to go to school.
I was neutral. No, actually, I did like school. But
really?
I did a journalism degree, but with an advertising emphasis.
Yeah.
So I took a ton of advertising classes, and I loved them. And I took one really good class from my really great professor where we learned that the trajectory of advertising from the invention of mass media, so like in like the 40s, 50s, went from we're selling you a product. You're going to like this product. It's going to benefit you. To you're going to prefer a product, a brand. You're going to prefer it to where we are now. Well, then it went to you have a relationship with a brand to where we are now, which is you identify with a brand.
Like brand loyalty stuff where people are like, this brand means something about me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am an Apple.
My parents have this with Apple and Mac. Yeah.
An Apple, I'm a PC.
Wow, those ads kind of changed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those were a good example of that. And I think, so that's sort of like what they taught me. And I was like, wow, that's really true. And, you know, we can see it reflected in how we all relate to a lot of different brands. And I think it's very relevant to like influencer marketing and parasocial relationships.
Okay, but I have some thoughts about this.
Yes.
I fill my body with guilt and shame around the things that I like and enjoy.
Interesting.
I don't know if you can relate. I would say my most deeply held, be it like brand or parasocial relationships, to me are like inherently embarrassing. And if I investigate it, they're only embarrassing because I genuinely like them.
Go on.
So this is interesting. People standing up proudly and being like, you know, I love right. XYZ brand thing, because whenever I have that feeling, the next feeling is being ashamed that I have a genuine connection to, especially a brand.
Right.
Because then I go like, what am I? I'm just a wallet for a specific kind of sunscreen, mm-hmm. you know? It's like that.
And I think that's a valid response. Like, I think it's good to I don't think it's good to feel shame, but I do think it's good to interrogate, like, my identity is wrapped up in which type of, you know,
jeans I'm wearing.
Yeah. Yeah. And but it's like, I think it's a huge source of comfort for a lot of people. It's
totally.
Like, yeah, I feel comforted by the fact that I can spend $100 on Levi's and then I feel like I am a whole person and my outfit is whole and complete and I look stylish.
Yes. But when it goes as far as like stan culture, I'm always like, well, that's embarrassing because I'm like, you're standing up so strong and tall and saying 10 toes down for Lady Gaga. And then she'll go on to be, you know, embarrassing or controversial or do a bad job at something or say something bad. And then you've kind of like tied yourself to a thing that's going to be changing all the time.
Right.
This upsets me.
But on the other hand, gesundheit.
Big sneeze day for us. Huge, as a group.
A lot of allergies in the world.
Yeah.
Allegedly. On the other hand, I support K-pop stans wholeheartedly.
Oh, completely. Because mainly because I fear them.
But I do think it's a double-edged sword. It's like identifying with things, you know, brands, media personas. It is dangerous, but it's also life-affirming. And it also helps people like bounce their own identities against something and decide who they are and what they want to be. But it's a double-edged sword, absolutely.
Do you have any brands that do this for you?
Oh, great question. I don't. I'm not a Mac. That's what it is. You say I'm a Mac or PC. I'm not a Mac. I just use a Mac because I have to edit videos.
Heard. Because my parents are very much, I'm a Mac. And I'm like, I think I just have an iPhone.
I think I just have an iPhone. I think I just couldn't stand to have the green bubbles. Which,
yeah.
By the way, allegedly they fixed the Android to iPhone connection.
I don't know about that. Apparently, I send green bubbles a lot, and I'm not even sure why.
You do. It's something for us to take to the iPhone store.
I have
store.
No idea why. People say it's like at least a quarter of the messages I send are green.
Yeah, it's confusing.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Maybe Android is like trying to infiltrate you.
They won't get me.
They won't.
I have dated too many men with a weird, funky phone. I went back to a flip phone for a long time, and there were riots in the streets. People were furious with me.
Yeah.
I was useless in a group chat. I couldn't receive a picture that was too big. I couldn't receive a video.
Mm-hmm.
And I was texting, you know, with one thumb. So
were you T9 texting?
I was T9.
Love it.
I love T9.
Whoever invented T9, $10. Here you go.
I think they made millions.
A million and ten.
They made so much. It's probably like the thing that they did in their life. That's great. $10.
I can't think of a brand that I identify with, but I'll think about it and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. But people, absolutely. Easier to identify with humans.
Dippin' Dots.
Really?
I am Dippin' Dots.
What do you think about how they said that they were going bankrupt and they're still kind of available everywhere?
I love that. I love that they did that.
That's hilarious.
They're not available everywhere. They're only available at the Santa Monica Pier.
And at most theme parks.
That's true. But I don't count the little baggies. I want it scooped from a giant tub.
Oh, well, now
I
that...
I do not count the baggies.
Okay.
But the tub, Dippin' Dots, I am Dippin' Dots for sure. Okay.
Wow.
Before we wrap up, I would like to do our segment called Oops, I Googled Myself.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I'm just wondering, like, what's up with... at Male Cowgirl, like, how is the Charlie
happening with
internet
me?
Persona?
It's going well. I like it. I'm doing more TikToks again. And I'd like to do even more.
What kind of TikToks are you doing?
I've been posting a lot of stand-up stuff spliced up.
That's a threat.
Yeah, and that's a threat. I'll do more. And you should be afraid of that. I had kind of the best interaction ever, which is I posted a chunk of a set that I did. And then someone commented, oh my gosh, I wish I could see the full set. And I was like, well, I wasn't going to post it. But since TikTok now takes 10-minute videos,
right.
I was like, here you go. Because someone asked for it.
You posted
a full
set?
Never would have done. Yeah, it was like an 8-minute thing that I did. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I have the video. I'd love to share.
Yeah.
And long videos like that are that. For stand-up, don't do as well. Like, I think people prefer you kind of clip out your jokes. But someone asked, so I got to do it.
That's sweet.
It's really nice.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So are you trying to post more stand-up clips, or you just have them so you're posting them?
Both. And I've been freewheeling it. I had a whole thing about how I think Elon Musk needs to watch a little basketball, see if he can kind of mimic what they're doing when they jump up and down. Because when he jumped at the whatever Trump rally he was at, he is starting from locked knees, fully standing. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think it's healthy. I don't much care about his well-being, but I care enough to say you should learn how to jump up and down in a way that doesn't, you know, wreck your skeleton.
Thank you for having the correct criticism of Elon Musk.
Yeah, that's where I draw the line, is jumping badly.
You dumbass. What the fuck?
Loved the Tesla bus, though. Or is it a bus? It's a van? It's completely flat on the bottom.
Ew.
You go over one rock. You drive in Los Angeles for 4 minutes. It's like you're going to scrape the bottom of every parking
What if it drove down
lot?
La Brea after it rained? Oh my God.
Everyone would die.
It would explode.
It would explode. Everyone would die in a 20-mile radius.
Everyone would die, and a city Target would birth.
He's working on the wrong stuff. Every day he's working on the wrong stuff. He bought Twitter. We didn't need that.
So wait, so he's, sorry, let me fucking reroute this train. He's inspiring you to talk shit on TikTok? Is that the point of this?
He's, yeah. But I don't want to say the stuff everyone said, like he's bad.
Yeah,
he's bad, but what no one is talking about is he doesn't know how to jump up and down. Like,
your unique POV is what keeps us coming back. We want to hear more from you.
Thank you so much.
Followed. So things are going good. That's nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
I like it.
I look forward to checking in again. I love to have intimate direct line access to what the fuck are TikTok creators thinking?
I've recently put to bed the idea that I will make money on TikTok.
Oh, shit.
The numbers go down money-wise, mm-hmm, from where they were, like, when it was first monetized.
Right.
And I've just decided it's okay.
Just like...
I should just make videos because they're fun. I shouldn't be shooting for 1 minute, which is the market which you get paid. Mm-hmm. I should just do whatever I want.
Is it that they are literally paying you less per view?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I heard from someone that was happening.
I mean, when I started, it paid my rent.
Damn.
And now it's like, I make a few $100, maybe.
On like what? Something that gets like 500,000 views?
Yeah. Or it's like also like if everything I post that month is over a minute, they're all eligible.
Okay.
It's barely anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
TikTok. Okay. That's very interesting. I'm definitely going to check back in this.
Okay. We'll see. Meanwhile, we have a TikTok and it's been going...
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who's watching our videos and coming and listening to the podcast. We really are really happy you're here.
When you change platforms, that makes us happy.
That's like marriage. And I'm not even sure I believe in marriage, but I understand that it's cool and important.
That is so true.
I'm so understanding.
I'm just empathetic, and that's just kind of a me thing. Shall we... give our recommendations?
Absolutely. Charlie, what do you have to recommend?
Okay. So I got sober before I knew what an espresso martini was. I'm sure they were around when I was drinking. I know people love.
They're super on trend right now.
They're really on trend. I think hot people talk about them on, and let's say Twitter, mainly on Twitter. Not a lot. I'm not hearing a lot about them in real life anymore. This is the same with Aperol Spritz. There's alcohol that I never got to try. And I just want to taste the flavor. It's drinks where there's no real way to make a sober version.
Sure, yeah.
But what I have gotten really into, have I already, whatever.
Not
I've been
on
talking
the
about
podcast.
This, but in my
but,
life.
But I've just gotten coffee with you multiple times, and now I know
and
what
I talk
you're
about it
say.
A lot.
Go on.
Here's what you do. Some places have it now. It's on the menu, and that's kind of a game changer. You get espresso over ice, and you add tonic water. A lot of places do it with a little bit of like orange peel in there. It's called an espresso tonic. I love tonic water. I could drink it straight up all day. I love it. I love quinine. I want my bones to hurt. It's really good. Espresso tonic, you can have it in the morning, and it's like what I imagine an espresso martini could be. And I recommend it to you.
I really want you guys to try it, and I want there to be like a polar division of like people liking it and people hating it.
Yeah.
Well, I want there to be
people really have split opinions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't like it because I don't like sparkly water.
No, you don't like sparkly water.
I also don't like coffee.
Yeah. And you're more of a matcha head.
I'm a huge matcha head.
Crazy for matcha.
Put me in matcha oat milk. Yummy. Yummy. Bright green. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Yummy.
Wow, you're so niche.
Thank you.
This is like such a true recommendation too. Like you've literally been on this kick.
I've been talking about that a lot.
Yeah, it's like a kind of a core. It's one of your five personality traits.
Yes. Espresso tonic. Having a cat.
Horses.
Horses. Back in my life in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm riding. You can't say I'm not riding. I'm going to a horse show on Friday. I'm not competing. I'm just there to watch.
That's what you say now.
If a rider is injured, I always, as a kid, I was like, when I would see horse racing, I was like, put me in, coach.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
No. That's insane.
Yeah. What's your recommendation?
My recommendation is if you live in Los Angeles, go to Instagram at LA Community Fridges and find your local community fridge. Also, they have them in other places. This is just what I know about.
What do you do them? What do you do them? What do you do with them?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do. Community fridges are just fridges people set up like somewhere outside that the community maintains and fills with food. And then, you know, people can get food from it. And it's just like a really easy and direct way to like immediately get involved in your local like neighborhood.
Totally.
Because you can just walk by and be like, oh, the fridge is dirty. Let me like throw the trash away. Or be like, oh,
I've got extra this. Why don't I? Yeah.
Let me put this there. And then there's also like you can be a driver. So like there's a lot of like good organization of like volunteer opportunities where it's like this bakery always has extra bread. You can drive it to the fridge every Friday, like that kind of stuff. And I just think it's really amazing. It's like a great community of all these different people like helping each other figure out how to make community fridges work and like not get shut down by the city.
Yeah. There's a community table that I go to a lot. Obviously it's not, there's canned food, but there's no like produce. But most things in my apartment I've gotten there. And anytime I have something that I don't need anymore, I put it there because I've gained so much from the table.
See?
Community spaces.
And
okay. The dark
side
of this.
That's how community should be. Yep.
There's a little free library around the corner from me.
Let's get controversial.
And I opened it up. I was on a night walk. And I said, what's inside? And I saw DVDs, which I'm against. In a little free library.
Mm-hmm. That's
not
a book.
Don't put your trash. I know it's because you don't have a DVD player. I'm not. I'm against the concept of a DVD in a little free library.
Mm-hmm.
But would you believe that the film, and let's call it a movie because it doesn't deserve the title of film, the movie Birth of a Nation on DVD was in my little free library.
Oh my God.
Just over there.
What the fuck?
Isn't that fucked up?
Why did they even put that on DVD?
Why did you own that in the first place?
Put that in the trash.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. Anyways,
we need to send the kids back to school.
We need to send the kids back to school, shut down little free libraries, open up community fridges.
Literally shut down. I mean, I know, whatever, do whatever you guys want, but like the real library.
I also, that's
go
what I really
to the
want
real
to say.
Library.
There are little
real
free
libraries
all around you.
I'm a real library head, okay? Runs in my blood. Runs in my blood.
My blood. See?
Oh, one more thing.
Okay.
Before we sign off.
Okay.
People wrote us reviews.
I love.
I want to share.
Share one.
I want to share. Thank you guys so much for writing us a review. And if you haven't yet, why not?
Hey, give it a shot.
Give it a shot. It's fun to do.
Voice how you feel.
Okay.
Who you are.
Here, can you read this one?
Yes, absolutely. 5 stars. Good show. The highest compliment. I found your podcast because you interviewed Jess Lamworth. Oh, we love Jess. I enjoyed the episode and followed your show. I'll be back.
Thank you.
That is, I love writing that is so to the point. That's like how you text.
So true.
That is like how you text.
I am
you go,
the
here's
least
the
conversational texter ever. I'm like, here's the information. Talk to me in real life.
I've become less conversational, but I remember years ago, 6 years ago, you said to me, texting is for just transmitting the message. Don't be fucking around.
Like, unless we are very obviously flirting. That's like the only time I text is if we're like in the talking phase.
Right.
But that only happens like once every 7 years. So it's likely not. We're not doing that.
That's perfect. You know,
likely that's not happening to me. Anyways.
We did it.
That's the episode. Stay tuned for Garrett's Corner and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Parasocial Social Club. Enjoy this episode? Leave us a nice review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's a nice and kind thing to do. This podcast is produced by your hosts and Garrett Labonte. Theme music done by Brady Hicks. And for Garrett's Corner Pick of the Week, two things. One, dressing in your pajamas is your Halloween costume, so you can take a nap whenever you want, and it's totally acceptable at any Halloween party. Two, no matter what Charlie says, Rick's has a great bean and cheese burrito, and I will stand by that.